A bit ago, we reported on the top food trends for 2019, and on all of the lists, mushrooms, or mycelia, as their root systems are known. Then, on a recent trip to a favorite shop, Cambridge Naturals, everywhere you looked, mushrooms, mushroom tea, mushroom immunotherapy. On prominent display, the 2005 book, Mycelium Running, How Mushrooms Can Help Save the World, by Paul Stamets, who also seems to be everywhere, including a recent piece in the New York Times about saving the endangered honeybee population with mushrooms. Yes, they're delicious, but Stamets says mushrooms have unique properties. Some exude acids and enzymes that can break down oil, even nuclear waste. And most important, mushrooms get sick just like we do, and in order to ward off pathogens, they've created antibacterial and antiviral defenses we can harness. In fact, Paul Stamets thinks mushrooms may play as important a role as penicillin has. Well, for a guy who spends a lot of his time on the ground looking for mushrooms, he's achieved a pretty elevated status with a revered TED Talk, admirers like Leonardo DiCaprio and Bill Gates. He's been described as a modern-day Thomas Edison by Department of Defense scientists. He prefers mycological warrior in defense of the planet. And Paul Stamets joins us now from Olympia, Washington. Paul, how is the rarefied air up there? You're just...
Well, if you can see me, I'd be blushing. You're very kind, and my supporters are all too kind, but I do appreciate the support. I need it.
You feel as if there's been a certain kind of shift. You've been talking about this for quite a while now, and suddenly mushrooms are everywhere.
Yeah, it's become our current zeitgeist. People are waking up to the fact there's a hidden underground network underneath every footstep that we take. The interface organisms between life and death, and they build soils. And without fungi, we wouldn't have food.
Mushrooms break down and build up soil. But talk about their ability to heal humans and the connection between humans and fungi.
Well, the connection goes back 650 million years ago. Fungi gave birth to animals. We have a much closer ancestry with fungi than we do with any other kingdom. And there actually is a new super kingdom called Opisthokonta that joined Animalia and fungi together. Fun esoteric science, but it's true. And we share in common many of the pathogens that attack fungi are also pathogenic to us. So the defenses that fungi have built over millions of years can be very useful for protecting animals from the same disease vectors that plague fungi. So we hold in common some of the same microbial enemies, you might say, and as well as the microbial allies.
Okay, let me see if I've got this. You say that we are so close to fungi, we share 50% of the same DNA, we get many of the same viruses. So you've been focusing on finding the natural immunities that fungi have developed to germs and extracting them to try to help us, if I'm on the right track there. And where do you think this can work the best?
The take home here for the listeners is that bees are facing a dramatic stressors. But really, the nail in the coffin has been identified recently is coming from the varroa mite. And the varroa mite is injecting deadly viruses into bees. Now, 30% of the food that we consume is directly dependent upon bee pollination. Every almond that you eat was visited by a bee on a flower. So they're critical for commercial agriculture. They're commercial for ecosystem equilibrium. And the bees are plummeting in their populations across the world. And we have found, through a very bizarre twist and turns of my life, discovered that some of these polypore mushrooms, these hard wood conchs that grow on trees, when you make an extract of the mycelium, the fine fuzzy stuff growing on the ground, go outside and tip over any log and you'll see mycelium on the ground, that those fine furry fibers, when we extract them and we give them to bees, it reduces the viruses by thousands of times with one treatment 12 days later, and also substantially increases our lifespan.
And this work you did with scientists at Washington State University and the U.S. Department of Agriculture sounds wonderful. You want to apply this kind of thinking in other areas, tuberculosis, other kinds of illnesses, other mushrooms. You know, one criticism of you has been that there's not enough data, not enough study. Take that, because I can hear listeners saying, well, if this is true, Why am I not going to the drugstore and getting mushroom aspirin or whatever? I mean, what has been the disconnect between what people really believe you're onto and it not being common usage?
Excellent question. And I welcome my critics. And please, critics out there, you know, I love to engage. I love to respond with data. It will become more common. It is becoming more common. The wave of scientific articles coming out supporting the immune enhancing benefits of these mushroom species is just tremendous. And directly after 9/11, I was engaged by the U.S. Defense Department BioShield BioDefense program called Project BioDefense, funded with several billion dollars. We found resident in the old growth forest a mushroom called agaricon. Mm-hmm. It grows exclusively in the old growth forest. That turned out to be in the top 10 of all samples that they tested, of more than 2 million samples, the only natural product that reduced pox viruses. And bioterrorism was a huge concern. The BioShield BioDefense program then steered the research. They did 2,392 assays. Thank you, George Bush and Dick Cheney. Crazy, crazy that I'm saying that, but it's true. So we found that these extracts in vitro with the BioDefense program reduced flu viruses, H5N1, H3N2, H1N1, swine flu, and bird flu, as well as herpes.
Yeah. You have had interest from U.S. Department of Agriculture, Homeland Security. We mentioned the Defense Department. Companies have contacted you about oyster mushrooms being able to clean up oil spills. You've had University of Illinois, Chicago's Institute for Tuberculosis Research sent you analysis of these agaricon strains that you'd cultured in your lab. This is for the fight against tuberculosis. Where do you think this is leading? I mean, I talk about going into health food stores, and all I see are mushroom products.
So I'm going to state something extraordinary.
Go ahead.
But I believe this is true. I believe in my gut it is true. What I think I've discovered is something fundamental to the foundation of nature. The mycelium that is growing in the ecosystem that builds the soils not only controls the microbiome, but influences, if not controls, the immunological health of the animal inhabitants that are resident within the environment. What's happening around the world is as we experience deforestation, we remove the menu of wood debris necessary for the fungi to create soils. And as we limit the wood debris fields, then we stress the ecosystem because mycodiversity, the diversity of fungi, declines. And we don't have as many species with skill sets to be able to rise up to help reestablish equilibrium in the ecosystem. So that's just think of it. The same polypore mushrooms have this effect on multiple viruses that afflict multiple species of animals. So we do have an animal clinical study. Is the bees. Now, we need to have other animal clinical studies. Who's going to fund them? In the pharmaceutical industry, I have no doubt they looked at agaricon. It's the longest living growing mushroom in the world. It grows up for 70, 80 years. I submitted seven strains of agaricon to the Project BioDefense. Only three of them showed activity. So if a pharmaceutical company, they could have very well have missed this because different strains within a species are critically important. A clear example, the penicillium mold. When it was first discovered to inhibit staph bacteria and other bacteria, it inhibited the bacteria, but it wasn't that potent. And then only because some researchers in Chicago got a moldy piece of fruit from a market, they found a hyper-producing strain, which allowed for the commercialization of the most potent antibiotic known in the history of medicine. And the discovery of penicillin may have tilted the balance in winning World War II because the British and the Americans had this strain of penicillium and the Axis powers, the Germans and Japanese and Italians did not. Biodiversity is biosecurity. This fabric of life that we exist today is dependent upon the fungal networks that we walk upon with every footstep that we take. And I feel potently the voices of my descendants calling back in time, telling us to wake up. We are at a tipping point. The loss of insect diversity is a huge threat right now to the fabric of our ecosystem. The majority of insects feed upon fungi, and the loss of the fungal menu available to insects is yet another challenge. The good news is I know of no other science that has so many potential solutions that are deliverables that are ecologically rational, economically scalable, and that can be put into place in the short term. The field of mycology, in my opinion, should be funded to the tune of NASA, because this is so critical for the survival of life on this planet. There's no other science I know that's so underfunded, underrecognized, and underappreciated, and yet has so much potential.
Paul Stamets, again, a mycologist in Olympia, Washington, author of the 2005 book, still very much present, Mycelium Running, How Mushrooms Can Help Save the World. Paul, we're going to have to stop here. We could go on, and maybe we will down the road, but thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you very much for your support of science and educating the public on eclectic knowledge.
Take care.
All right.
And by the way, Paul's work is supported by his online company, Fungi Perfect Eye. And no, you won't find any magic psychedelic mushrooms for sale there, although Paul says he does support the research, as does author Michael Pollan. So we'd love your thoughts. Are you a shiitake lover, a forager? Are you taking mushroom products like immunotherapy? Weigh in, hereandnow.org.